In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Always feels like such a long journey to this day, doesn't it? Depends how your week went. I'm so glad you've made it. Whether you're here with us in person or online watching, we're glad you're here. I want to take a few minutes this morning and focus on Paul's message to the church in Corinth. Taking into account this, I like it when we get messages from Paul to the church in Corinth because it sounds somewhat familiar. You know, Corinth was a primary port city. There's a canal that runs through that area now. Back in Jesus' day, they would have either dragged the smaller boats across on a paved road, or they would have unloaded them, moved everything to the other side, and reloaded the ships on the other side. It was a very busy place, a major trade route. And so there was anything you can imagine, good, bad, and otherwise, was happening in Corinth. So when people talk about, you know, these simpler biblical times, I think, well, I bet Corinth was quite the scene. And so always good to hear what Paul's saying to them because it makes me think of, well, the world we live in. So Paul's being a really just being a good missionary, as always. He's mixing this instruction, his message to them, with a witness. And he starts by letting them know this is something they already know, right? So verse 15, he says, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain." So he's reminding them. So the way he's saying it tells me perhaps the church is just slightly off track. Try not to use that term here. That they're wandering a bit. And he's reminding them, don't, you know, remember what you said. Remember what you claim. And he continues that message through. He says, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." I think that's why a lot of us are here today, isn't it? If it wasn't for that message, we probably, you know, wouldn't exist as Christians anyway, would we? And then he starts to do something that sounds a little odd in verse 5. He says, "Then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles." He's doing something important there, although it seems particularly odd to us. What he's trying to do is remind them that this message that he's carrying is not just something coming from him. There are a lot of other witnesses that exist, a lot of other people that can back up his story, which was good. Especially in this time, that would have made a big difference. So the more people you can get to agree, or more people who witness this that say that they saw it, it becomes that much closer to truth. That's the same way we judge our history books, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of that. How often has that been written? How many people agree with it? And if it happens enough times, there's a level that's acceptable, and they say, this is a true history book. And now we've noticed sometimes that wasn't 100% true, was it? There were little details left out from time to time. But I will tell you this, if you've ever been through the Alpha program, you'll know this already. The Bible, those standards that they use, the Bible blows all that away completely. There should be no question. And for me, there is no question. And for many, that is true. But Paul is trying to say, this is a true event that you believe in, and we want you to stick with it. And then he begins in a little bit in his own sort of witness. He starts at verse 8. He says, "Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So Paul's giving in the midst of there, being the good missionary, he's giving his brief little witness. He is explaining how, although he is proclaim himself and others proclaim him an apostle, he has never actually seen the living Jesus. He had an encounter with the risen Lord, amen? You remember his transformation as he was knocked off his horse and was made blind for some time. He was a persecutor of the church. He was opposed to this movement 100%. It was his crusade to close it down. And he's, as he's explaining to the church in Corinth, he didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel worthy. And I suspect for us, maybe many of us, perhaps we have felt the same. In fact, I would go so far to say that for some, the church may have made them feel unworthy. And on a day like today, when the whole world is looking toward Jesus on this Easter Sunday, there will be several people who will be invited to go to church today with family members. And some will say yes, and many will say no. Many years ago, I knew a young man that was invited by his family members to every Easter and every Christmas. Siblings would invite. The siblings had gone back to church after a time. This young man had not. Every Christmas, every Easter. You should come to church with us. And on the outside, what appeared was this person would say, no, no, you know, I'm good. I don't want to be a hypocrite. What was happening on the inside was, I'm not worthy. I'm not supposed to be there. It's been made very clear that the life choices that had gone through and the things that had transpired made this person unworthy to attend church. This person was not one that God wanted. So the answer was always, no. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be the person who just goes to church twice a year. But over a period of time, something happened. Life changed. People get older, start to realize the world's full of gray and not black and white. And you need something solid to stand on. With nothing left to lose, the invitation was offered. You should come to church with us. So I went. After having been made to feel that I did not belong, with nothing to lose, I entered the church, the building. And then over time, I realized that the church has little to do with the building and everything to do with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And through that relationship with Jesus Christ came grace and mercy and forgiveness and the fullness of his love, and life was new. Life was new. And I hear these words of Paul in verse 10 when he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. He goes on to talk about how much he worked. I don't want to think about that. Now, some in this room may think that his grace was in vain. But I will say this to you, brothers and sisters. Whether you're here every week, whether you're just here for today, I thank God that his grace is moving in you, that you are striving to find out more about who he is in your life, about how he can take you and make you a new creation. And this is that day when we gather to recognize the fullness of who God is through Jesus Christ. It's a glorious day. And I'm grateful that we're doing the 10 o'clock service outside, because it's a little chilly still for me to be outside. But when we gather outside at 10 o'clock again to celebrate, 5 young people will openly display the grace of God within them as they receive the sacrament of baptism. 5. We should be doing 5 a week, minimum. If what we know is true, it is true, amen? It is true that God has come into this world in the form of Jesus Christ. He suffered, paid the price for our sin, and then rose again. And now through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have risen with him. Amen? And this is the time in which we live. It may not have felt very glorious this past year, but it will always be better. And one thing has remained true in the midst of all the things that we felt were falling apart. The one thing that has never changed and never will change is God. He is with us. He is empowering us. He is calling us, brothers and sisters, to be his church. And what better time to be his church than now? The world needs hope. The world needs to know the truth. The world needs to hear the message, and the world needs your witness. Amen? Go to the world and shout, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.